This is Agriculture Today.
A provision in H.R. 1, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, signed into law last month, changes how federal farm program payment limits apply to S-Corps and limited liability companies, or LLCs. Previously, these entities were treated as single individuals for payment purchases, capped at one payment limit, $125,000, regardless of the number of owners. Partnerships and joint ventures, however, could access multiple limits, allowing each partner to qualify individually. Well, under the new rules, S-Corps and LLCs now considered pass-through entities for payment limitation purposes. It's similar to partnerships and joint ventures, so each active member of shareholder will have their own $155,000 limit. It's a 24% increase from the previous cap. Secretary of Ag authorized to adjust the amount annually for inflation. Now, the change expected to simplify structuring for farms with multiple owners by eliminating the need for complex partnership arrangements to maximize benefits. May also reduce legal and filing costs for new operations. U.S. doubling tariffs on Indian imports to 50%, citing India's continued purchases of Russian oil as the primary reason for the move. Trump administration announced the additional 25% duty last week, escalating trade tensions between the two countries. New Delhi quickly condemning the action, calling it selective and unfair, noting other nations also import Russian oil without facing similar penalties. Prime Minister Modi reaffirmed his commitment to protecting Indian farmers, vowing not to compromise on ag, dairy, or fishing sectors. And in a sign of strain, India reportedly paused procurement of certain U.S.-made weapon systems. Indian officials signaled a renewed push to diversify trade by seeking partnerships with other trusted nations. Dispute marks a sharp turn from February's Mission 500 pledge, in which both countries aimed to grow bilateral trade to $500 billion by 2030. And now analysts warn that the rift could slow progress toward that goal. BNSF Railway significantly reducing soybean shuttle tariff rates to the U.S.-Mexico border and Texas Gulf export terminals for marketing year 25-26, while leaving Pacific Northwest rates unchanged. Changes will take effect next month. Shipments to the Texas Gulf will see the largest cut. That's $1,500 per car, or about 41 cents per bushel. Represents a 25-32% reduction for most elevators on the BNSF network. Rates to Eagle Pass and El Paso, the primary gateway for soybean exports to Mexico, will drop $1,000 per car, or 27 cents per bushel. So with cuts, all BNSF elevators will have lower rates to Mexico than to the Pacific Northwest, with spreads ranging from $200 to $2,300 per car. Texas Gulf spreads even wider, up to $3,000 per car. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You know, the great farm bill that we put forward, passed out of committee last Congress, with, you know, with in a bipartisan way. So we'd already been working on just what was an outstanding farm bill for some time.
Pennsylvania's G.T. Thompson, Chairman, House Ag Committee.
So when the opportunity for budget reconciliation, or the, as it was officially named, the One Big Beautiful Bill, came along, I was able to put really Farm Bill 1, what I call Farm Bill 1.0, into the One Big Beautiful Bill. And it was 80% of the Farm Bill is now law. You know, as Tony, as you know, Farm Bills are normally 5 years. We made this Farm Bill 6 years. And retroactive to this year, 2025, so providing help when we need it right now. You know, starting with, and there was just so much that's in there. You start with Title I, and I have to say, what we put into this farm bill, what I put in there, was really what I heard from our farmers and ranchers and foresters and key stakeholders in rural America. And so under Title I, we were able to invest literally over $55 billion into reference price increase. We did that based on what the commodities needed. So there were different, it ranged anywhere of an increase of 10 to 20%, which is a huge investment. We're able to add and make available 30 million additional acreage, for base. So that means farmers that, that do not have base acres today will have an opportunity to apply for and to achieve base acres to be able to utilize those reference prices. We modernized the dairy margin coverage cost factors, and went on from there. You know, we did we raised the conservation base 25%. 25% increase in what we invest in conservation by rolling in to the the Inflation Reduction Act conservation dollars that had not been spent. We doubled MAP and FMD for trade, and that couldn't be more timely with the hard work and great progress that President Trump and his team is making in terms of trade negotiations. We increased investments in research, and specifically did $155 million investment annually, mandatory funding for research facilities, which is great news for our research universities, certainly our land grant universities, to be able to make sure that they have the most modern and best facilities when it comes to research. We did a significant increase for animal health, and with all the things that are facing us, from the New World screwworm to the bird flu, to threats on pork, really important investments in large animal veterinarians, investments in our agriculture laboratories, in vaccination pools. This is probably the best farm bill we could have done when it comes to specialty crops. We've made crop insurance not only more affordable for everyone, but some incentives in order to have those third parties develop some crop insurance products for specialty crops, as well as incorporated some supplemental disaster relief into crop insurance.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
We're coming to the end of the corn marketing year on August 31st.
Kansas State grain economist Dan O'Brien.
Right now we're sitting at what's bought ahead at about 2.78 billion bushels. USDA projected 2.75. We'll see how this pace finally evens itself out in the next few weeks. But overall, it's been a good marketing year for corn exports. Again, that's come largely because of low prices. So we'll see. And then we also have had a strong export week for U.S. wheat. And again, we're looking at official numbers for the week ending July 31st. Of course, that marketing year started June 1. And for the overall numbers for the U.S., about 24.5 million bushels, need a pace of about 16.4 for this marketing year. Again, the one we're in now, to get to the end and meet the USDA's projection of about 850 million, which is okay. Hard red winter wheat, especially had a strong week, need about 4.96 million bushels, about just under 5, beat the USDA's projection of 275 million, and had a week of 11.5, so strong week. Again, I guess the best cure for low prices is low prices, and a weaker dollar doesn't hurt either in terms of actually moving some of this grain, so that's a positive. I'd say also for soybeans, that had a week of actually strongest week for several, of about 25.3 million bushels of shipments, and need a pace of about 25.6 to meet the USDA's projections. Of course, here we're concerned about these paces because of the upcoming USDA WASDE report. It'll be on the 12th of August. So I guess if we're meeting the pace on exports or ahead or behind on other usage, then that could impact where the at least the usage side of the supply-demand balance sheet. I should mention on that report, for the August report, we'll have the first USDA NAS projection for this market year, but it'll only be primarily based on what farmers tell the USDA they expect out in the fields. And August reports are notorious for being, I shouldn't say they're just flat out inaccurate, but they have a wider range of estimates. So the expectations that farmers are giving for what they expect their crops to be, what their yields to be, based on August 1, when we come to September 1, we'll have again another set of farmer expectations to be that much closer to harvest, a little more maturity, and the USDA themselves will also go out in the fields and do what they call the enumerated surveys. So a lot happening in the coming weeks. There was one pre-report estimate that came out from one of our main commercial trading houses, where they do a survey of farmers, supplement that with their own analysis, had an expectation that's quite high, 188 bushels an acre. The USDA's projection is 181. So, again, with that 188 figure, I guess I don't know how they weighted acreage in different places, if that's all from right the heart of the Corn Belt or primarily or whatever. So there's some uncertainty with regard to that. So by the time we get out to the next USDA WASDE report next week, I think it's a believe it's on Thursday, I think it's on the 12th, that there'll be a lot of, anticipation of a large number. And frankly, if we don't come in with a large number, that's probably going to be interpreted positively for the markets. But we'll see. Right now, farmers will be voting with their emails and their iPhones on what they think those numbers will be and how that affects what the USDA NAS tells, it brings into those balance sheets on the production side, and then we'll just go from there. I really think that it'll set the tone for where markets go. We're probably going to have large crop expectations for corn and for soybeans, and then we'll be shaving and adjusting from that from August now into September, October, November, and on into January.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers. This is Agriculture Today.
Well, not everything has been taken care of.
Under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, many provisions that ag wanted in a farm bill have become law. But it doesn't mean we don't need a new farm bill. G.T. Thompson is a representative from Pennsylvania, chairman of the House Ag Committee.
Probably the higher priorities that of American farmers that and farm families have been achieved. But there's still about 20% that needs to be done. And so this is, as what we've done already. I affectionately refer to that as Farm Bill 1.0. We have Farm Bill 2.0. I've been working with my ranking member from Minnesota. We've been working and talking and getting ready, hopefully, in September. Now, what is left is about 20% of the Farm Bill. There's a lot of policy. Most of that policy is not controversial. It's very bipartisan. And it comes at a price tag that is relatively affordable, actually. I never thought in my life I'd ever say that something that costs under $8 billion is not a lot of money. But in the scheme of things, it's and we will pay for the remaining part, just like we paid for the first part. And so I'm excited. We're going to get farm. We're working hard to get. We will be working hard. We are actually every day now working on Farm Bill 2.0. And I'm hoping out of our committee anyways that we do that by the end of September. I mean, we are working with in a bipartisan way, and I am working with my counterpart, Senator John Bozeman, in the Senate.
He's also been a longtime champion of dairy and trying to return milk to schools.
Well, we passed my legislation that would restore the option of whole milk and flavor back into our schools. We have been cheating our kids on what is the most beneficial, most nutritional beverage that they need to have. It has most of the essential elements that are missing in their lives. Back in 2010, Congress under President Obama restricted and prevented whole milk, 2% in whole milk with flavor from being served in our schools. That is a bill restoring whole milk for healthy kids. My legislation did pass out of the House Education Workforce Committee, and I'm proud to report that it passed out basically by voice out of the Senate Education or Agriculture Committee. And that was a big deal. Bipartisan, Peter Welch, a Democrat from New England, Roger Marshall, a Republican from Kansas, they kind of led the way. We thought it might even be hotlined, meaning it would pass by unanimous consent off the Senate floor. Unfortunately, it's being held up right now only because it's actually the Democratic senator that's holding it up recognizes it might be the only really nutrition-related bill, piece of legislation that would be passed. And so I'm looking forward. I know I can get that legislation passed out of the House by suspension vote. And so I'll be working with my counterparts in the Senate. We're going to get this done. Our kids need it. They need that nutrition. They've only, unfortunately, have gotten larger because they're drinking sugary substitutes for the past, I guess at this point it would be the past 14 years.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
For the last 20 years, we've been promoting distillers grains coming out of American ethanol plants. And for the last 10 to 11 years, we've been developing foreign markets for ethanol, for American-made ethanol.
Ryan LeGrand is CEO of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council.
In the case of distillers grains, 2 decades. In the case of ethanol, a little over a decade. These products and the market development for these products has been part of our identity in practice, but not in name. So we wanted to bring the full portfolio of all of our products into our name, and that's what we did with the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council.
U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council focused on trade. How important is that for ag?
You know, trade is very, very important. When our farmer members are polled, trade is always near the top of the list, right behind that the crop insurance, which is really their safety net. That's always going to be number one, I think. But a lot of times, trade is number two on those polls of their priorities. And within that trade is a subset. They want to see us marketing value added products like distillers grains, like the high pro distillers grains that are coming out of our ethanol plants, and of course ethanol. So the idea there is to create that value here in the United States. Create jobs here in the United States and export that value add to the world. So we're following our members' priorities and heavily focused on expanding existing markets and finding new ones for the products coming out of the United States.
And in the case of ethanol, there's still big opportunities.
It really is. You know, this year we're going to top 2 billion gallons of exports of ethanol for the first time ever. And that's for the marketing year that's ending at the end of August here real soon. So that's very exciting news. But we continue to push the frontier in places like Mexico where we're not shipping a whole lot of ethanol today. I mean, it's increased to around 60 million gallons. But if they were to open up E10 in Mexico, that's a billion gallon market. And you know, just a real opportunity that we're laser focused on. Then India is one that has really adopted ethanol in a major way. They see the benefits. They're using it. They're at an E20 blend right now. And there's already talks of them moving up to E27 and beyond. So they've had a lot of success with their ethanol production. They're not importing any fuel ethanol today. It's everything that they import from us, and it's a big market for us, but it's all going into the industrial side. So we'd love to crack into that fuel market as well as they continue to grow and have aspirations for not only on-road fuel, but sustainable aviation fuel.
On the public-private partnership.
You know, those two pieces, the membership funds and then the funds that we get from USDA within their Foreign Agricultural Service, those are our lifeblood. You know, that is what keeps our lights on and keeps us running programs in 60 countries around the globe. Extremely important partner in FAS. They're located at embassy posts all around the world, and they are really our biggest advocates for all the products that we market into those overseas markets. You know, they're an extremely great partner to have, and we couldn't be more happy to have them. You know, the MAP and FMD dollars have been set at a certain at the same level, $200 million for MAP. I want to say about $34 million for FMD, and that's amongst all the American cooperators within the USDA system. Some exciting news that we've heard recently is that there was a supplemental fund that was set up in the Big Beautiful Bill that allows for – that's going to double those funds. So really excited to put those to use. You know, studies have shown – you talk about the payback. Studies have shown that for every dollar invested into this MAP program – there's $23 of ROI there. So it's extremely important and very, very effective dollars that we and other cooperators are putting to use around the world.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
As we move into the summer months, you probably notice that the fly populations are starting to build on your dairy.
Kansas State Dairy Specialist, Dr. Mike Brook.
It's important that you understand something about the life cycle of flies, and we think about house flies, which generally constitute a majority of the flies that we actually see on the dairy, although we do have issues with stable flies and horn flies and some face flies as well. But when we really look at the heavy fly populations on our dairy, a lot of times those are associated with house flies. House flies develop actually fairly quick. Their normal life cycle, they will live about 6 to 8 weeks, and during that time period, they'll lay about 2,000 eggs. Those 2,000 eggs can quickly develop into adult flies depending on the temperature. Generally, in about 3 to 5 days, we start to see them emerging, and basically they can complete this total cycle in about 9 to 14 days. So as you think about their lifespan and you think about the number of flies a single fly might be able to produce if it hatched in April, by the end of the summer, July or August, may actually result in the production of about 64 million flies. So control of flies is very, very important if we want to keep the population down on our dairies. As you look at the flies that are on your dairy, just think about how many they will produce by the end of the summer if you do not do something about it. So when you look at our control programs, we always talk about sanitation first, because when we look at the flies that emerge from bedding and other sources on our farm, it could account for maybe 85% of the flies that have been produced on our farm. So try to remove as much of the manure, as much of the old spoiled feed, and those areas where flies are likely to lay eggs, such as grass growing around the dairy. It's important to make sure that we try to limit the amount of breeding space that those flies have. For those of you with freestall barns, another thing that we often forget is along the curb, we sometimes accumulate feed, particularly if we have sprinklers over our feed lines. We get a wet area right on top of that concrete curb. Feed collects there, and that can become an area where flies will lay eggs and larvae will develop. So sometimes they're developing right in the pen where our animals are at. As you look at some other things that you need to consider for fly control in your adult cattle, larvicides can be very effective. They should have been started back before fly season actually started, but if you haven't utilized a larvicide, starting now would not necessarily be a bad thing to do. It will start controlling the flies as you go forward in the summer. A recent study at Kansas State University has shown that larvicides can reduce the percentage of flies emerging by more than 80%. However, if you've not started it yet, you will still need to continue to spray and do other things to control adult flies until you get enough larvicide into the manure system that it actually starts controlling those larvae that are developing in that manure source. Some other things that you might want to think about is keeping your fly control strategies, doing some mixing of the types of chemicals that you use. Sometimes we do get resistance to some of these chemicals, so you may have to switch to a different chemical. And keep in mind with lactating dairy cows, you should only be using a product that's actually approved for use on lactating dairy cows.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.